If you have your Bibles, and I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11. How many here have ever made a mistake? Wave your hand at if you've ever made a mistake. How many have ever made a big mistake? I want to talk about mistakes this morning. Learning from your mistakes. Learning from your mistakes. I also want to phrase it and title it by saying, falling forward. Falling forward. You know, if you're going to fall and make progress, it's better to fall forward. If you're like me, 5'11", then if I fall forward, I've made progress by 5 feet and 11 inches. We can learn valuable lessons from our mistakes. Hopefully. I know someone is thinking, man, I've made some big ones. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit. I've witnessed that. I have personally witnessed that. A dog returning to his vomit. I usually turn away. Is a fool who repeats his folly. Like a dog that returns to his vomit, is like a fool who repeats his folly. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that your word would have impact in our lives. Change us this morning, Lord. Transform us by your precious word. Dig deep within us. And Lord, let there be something lasting take place in our lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have you ever done something, regretted it, and then did it again? Let me say it again. Have you ever done something, regretted it, and then did it again? Sometimes we call this a pattern of defeat. Committing the same mistake over and over again, expecting a different result. I remember someone telling me that they saw this guy banging his head against the wall. And they asked him, "Why are you banging your head against the wall?" And he said, "Because it feels so good when I stop." Think about that for a minute. Committing the same mistake over and over again is like banging your head against the wall. How many know that is not how God wants us to live our lives? wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. And He especially wants us to learn from our failures and mistakes. And most of us have made a lot of them. So God wants us to grow from learning from the things that we've done wrong. Not too many amens, but I'm going to press ahead this morning. How can we grow? By gaining wisdom from God. Look at James chapter 1, verse 2. You know the deception, the greatest deception, is making a mistake and never learning anything from the mistake that you made. And to keep on doing the same thing. We call it going around the mountain, but never climbing higher. James says in verse 2, chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And I always wonder, you know, how can you have any kind of joy when you're going through such a difficult time? You know why? You know why James was teaching this and living this? Because God was giving him wisdom in the midst of his trial. There's a reason why we go through what we go through. There's a purpose for it. Hello? What is God trying to teach you in the midst of what you're going through? You see, we're just trying to make it to the other side. If I can just make it through this trial, if I can just make it through this difficult time, then I'm successful. No, it's more than that. There's something that God wants to show you in the midst of it. As you're going through it, He wants to reveal something to you. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The wisdom is tied to the trial that you're going through. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We all go through times of difficulty, trials, tests. And can I say this morning, do I have the liberty this morning to say that many of these tribulations are a result of poor choices and bad decisions? Come on, it's the truth. The wisdom that God wants to give us is the ability to discern the reason I'm going through this trying time. And what is it that God's endeavoring to teach me? What is it? there's some nugget of truth that through this difficulty, He wants to unveil to you. There's something in the midst of what you're going through that God wants to show you. Hello? You know what God showed Joseph? God showed Joseph that in the midst of his deepest trial, that God was going to use him as a vessel of deliverance for the people of Israel. Hallelujah. God was sending Joseph ahead to prepare a way of deliverance for the entire nation of Israel. It took a few years. God may be showing you something that's going to be of value not only to you, but to your family in the name of Jesus. What you're going through right now, God is allowing it because there's some nugget, there's some truth, there's something that God wants to reveal to you that's going to bring you to a higher level of victory. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout amen this morning? God's going to do this. We don't go through things haphazardly as Christians. I don't believe in chance. God designs things for us. Are you hearing me this morning? You had to go through what you went through to bring you to the place where you are today. You had to experience the difficulty that you went through to bring you to the place where you're at today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Friends, we need to rely on God's plans and God's designs for our life. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. There's nothing that you're going through that someone else has not already gone through or is going through around the world. But God is faithful. Can somebody say it? God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God's not going to let you be tested beyond your strength and ability to endure. So if you're going through it, it's because God knows you can make it through it. Hallelujah. You and God, you and the Holy Spirit can make it through. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape. I want to center in on that this morning. But with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Way of escape. Ooh. Prison break. I'm going to get out of prison. God's going to make a way for me to get out. just like he did with Peter. Amen? Yes. They were praying, and God sent his angels, hallelujah, to bring Peter out. And if God can do it for Peter in such a supernatural, angelic way, God can do it for you. Hallelujah. God is supernatural. We live in a natural realm, but God wants to lift us into another realm, a supernatural realm, where his Spirit flows and moves. Hallelujah. You see, we figure things out in our minds all the time. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 plus 4 equals 8. 8 plus 8 equals 16. 16 plus 16 equals 32. 32 plus 32 equals 64, and so on and so forth. And if it doesn't equal, we say, well, it can't be done. God's over and above all of that. Hallelujah. He's bigger than our multiplication tables. He's bigger than our ability to comprehend or put it all in natural thinking. He lives in a realm higher and higher than that. The wisdom from this verse is to recognize the way of escape. God has designed a detailed plan to bring you into a place of victory. Are you hearing me? He knows all about you. He knows all about what you're going through. He knows all about the people that surround you. He knows about all the things that they're going through. And the God of all creation is planning a way of escape that you may be able to not only endure, but that you would become the victor that he has declared you to be in the name of Jesus. You know, I was thinking the other day of what a problem. Not my problem, someone else's problem. And I was thinking, well, if this happened, then this would happen. And if that happened, then this would happen. And if this happens, then that will happen. And then I can do this. And then someone else can do that. And if they do this, and I do that, and they do this, and I do that, and we get a few more people to come in and do this, and that, and this, and that, it's solved! You know what God said to me? He said, take your plans and just throw them away. Because I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I am going to show forth my power. I'm going to reveal how great and mighty I am. And you know what happens to us? Well, if I do this, they do that. If they do this, and I do that. And if they come on board and do this and that, and then we get to a place where it's blocked. I don't think so-and-so will do this. Brother so-and-so may not do that. This is not going to work. How many know God's bigger? He's bigger than all of us. He's bigger than all of us. Hallelujah. He can move on hearts that we cannot change. He can transform lives that all our talking will do nothing to. Hallelujah. I was thinking about all the garbage that's happening in our nation. But did you know that one righteous person, if God allows that person to rise, can make a change? Yes. Thank God, the abortion laws are beginning to change in America. Hallelujah. Someone thought that has never happened in a million years. But I want you to know when God's in it, He can destroy strongholds and all the powers of the devil. Can you shout me? You don't need to keep committing the same mistakes because you feel the heat and sense you have to do something or it will all fall apart. David decided to move the ark. But you know, there was a way to move the ark. The priests were supposed to have poles going through the Ark of the Covenant. Priests on either side carrying them on their shoulder. But he got a bright idea to put it in a new cart. And the Bible says, as the bulls were carrying, the cows were carrying that cart, the oxen stumbled. And someone reached out their hand to steady the ark. That's what we do so often. We reach out our hand to steady the ark. And the Bible says God took his life because no one was to reach out and touch the ark. You know what that tells me? That sometimes we put our hands on things, our natural human thinking on situations and circumstances, when God has a way for it to be done and carried out. Let's follow His ways. Let's follow the ways of God's Word and His Holy Spirit. Friends, the hardest thing in life that I have learned and am still learning is to be patient and to wait for God's perfect timing. Are you hearing me this morning? To learn to be patient and wait. I'm slowing it right down. Wait for God's perfect timing. 1 Samuel chapter 13. King Saul was not willing to wait. You know, waiting is one of the most difficult things to do. Wait. 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 How many know that's not easy sometimes? To wait. The Bible says in verse number 8, he waited 7 days. That doesn't seem like a long time. The time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. You know, sometimes when you wait, things get worse before they get better. Hello? we think we have to give God some help. Because just maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm waiting. And the people were scattering from him. He's waiting. There's a big war about to happen. The Philistines were gathering against King Saul. And he waited because he needed to offer a sacrifice. And Samuel didn't show up at the appointed time. How many know we have a time, but God also has a time? We have a time, but God also has a time. The people were scattered. People were scattered. Oh, my help, all my soldiers, my military is scattering from me. But he didn't realize that, you know what, when you have God on your side, you are living in victory. If God be for us, who can be against us? I think about Israel. In all the wars that they've won in the last 100 years. Did you know that they were outnumbered so many times? But they had someone on their side. His name is Jehovah. Hallelujah. God Almighty was on Israel's side. Can somebody shout amen? Not about who's scattering from you. God told Gideon, you've got too many. I'm going to bring it down and down to 300. And through the 300, I'm going to accomplish a great victory for you. You know when revival is going to hit this place? It's when we stop trying to do it our way and let God have His way. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I don't feel like worshiping, but I'm going to worship. I don't feel like praising Him, but I'm going to praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So Saul said, I can't wait any longer. Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And you know, God has a way of doing things. As soon as we try to do it ourselves, then he shows up. After we've done our blunder. And as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Meet and greet. And Samuel said, what have you done? That's what God's saying to us today. What are you doing? Take the human hands off. Let my spirit do it. Hallelujah. Follow my ways in the leading of my spirit. Saul said, well, the bank manager said no, but I met someone else down on the streets of Creston that could get me the money. It's a higher rate, and he'd break my legs if I don't pay him back. Maybe I'll go that way. He said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that they did not come within the days that, and you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, see them gathered, can you? Circumstances shouldn't move us. Only the Holy Spirit should move us. Are you hearing me? And he said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering myself. I remember one time I was in a service, and this lady wanted her daughter to come to Christ so bad that when I gave the altar call, she went over and grabbed her from the pew and pulled her to the front. Friends, no one comes to Christ that way. It has to be an individual decision based upon their relationship with themselves and God. Are you hearing me this morning? You can't force anyone to do anything when it comes to the things of God. It's got to come from their own heart. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. I wish we had people in the church that had enough guts to tell people the truth. And you know what? What you did was foolish. There's a way out, but what you've done is foolish. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. And Saul didn't stop there. He kept making bad choices and bad decisions. How many know God can bless bad choices and bad decisions? He blesses his will. He blesses his purposes. Can somebody say amen this morning? That's what God blesses. Someone said, I'll do it and ask for forgiveness later. God, bless my mess. God can't bless your mess. He can only bless his will and his purposes and his desires and what he wants. And I sense in my spirit this morning that God wants to show you, don't do it. Don't make that decision. Don't decide on your own. Seek God for his counsel. Seek God for his wisdom. Get confirmation from the Spirit. Most bad decisions, and I'm closing, are made because we don't want to wait for God's timing. We think we know best, and we want to do it our way. But the biggest lesson we can learn in life is to wait for God's perfect timing. Listen to this last verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Are you hearing me this morning? God makes everything beautiful in its time. So, Pastor, what should I do? I'm going through some trial. I'm going through some difficulty. Say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? You know what? If you ask God for wisdom, He's going to give it to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bow your heads this morning.